जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, 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 यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, हे यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रेरी व्राजकाचार्य सूत्र शिष्यमदृष्टि वाइन ग्रेस అభయ చరణ అరవింద భక్తి విధాన స్వామి జగద్గురు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంత కోటి నామాచల శ్రీధ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం జ్ఞానతిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపాక్ ధామయం తాతి స్వాపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీ గురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీ రూపాం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాం సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దుజగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ రామ
హరే కృష్ణ Welcome to all the wonderful Krishna Premi Bhaktas who have come to, as Maharaj said, celebrate the greatest festival on earth, the day when Yashoda Nandan was born. How is it possible that Krishna can be born? Looks like a philosophical tangle there. And Krishna is saying, Aham Bija Pradaha Pita. And that Krishna says in the Gita that he is the father and mother of all living entities. He is a universal father. Is the source of everything. Aham Sarvasva Prabhavo. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from him. If he is the source of everything, how can Yashoda be her source? How can Nanda Maharaj be her source? That is why we need to discuss Krishna Katha. Because Krishna is not ordinary. Krishna is not extraordinary. Krishna is not supremely extraordinary. He is inconceivable. Therefore the Lord says, Janma Karma Chame. We don't discuss the birth of ordinary people in this world. What is there to discuss? It is a biological process. It just happens after 9 months and 9 days, and the child comes out either through forceps or vacuum or normal delivery or a cesarean section. Nothing great to discuss. It is a boring topic to discuss. But all over the world today, by the mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, in every continent, in every country, in every city, in every practically town of this world, today this great, great day is being celebrated. Many years back, I remember Lokanath Swami Maharaj giving some statistics, maybe about 15 years ago. He said that by mercy of Prabhupada, Janmashtami is being celebrated today, that means on the year of the Janmashtami, in 180 countries of the world. So we are not sitting here alone. While we are listening and talking, something similar is happening, and so many ears are hearing and so many mouths are speaking about one single person, the Lord of our life. That is Krishna. For most people, before even we came to Krishna consciousness, we had some understanding of Janmashtami, right? Even for those who are not in this room and not within the beautiful fold of Prabhupada's society, Janmashtami is still important. But there's a big difference between how people in the world, the pious people, celebrate. For some people it doesn't matter. It's just a holiday. Or maybe a bank holiday, I don't know. For some people, I remember, it meant playing cards. Whole night. For some people, that's what it means. Janmashtami, play cards and earn and lose money through gambling. For some people, it means that they will have some celebration in the middle of the night, make up jula, have all their relatives, friends, sing some songs, have some dance, play some housey, something like that, and then eat nice food and go away. That's what we used to do as pious Hindus before. So it is a tradition. It's a very rich tradition to celebrate the Lord's appearance. There's Ram Navami or Janmashtami. It's a tradition to celebrate the Lord's appearance in this world. But for the devotees of the Lord who are dedicating their lives to His lotus feet, it is much more than just a tradition. It's a great day for internalization of their bhakti. It's a day when they actually take deep inventory about how much they have progressed on the path of faith in the Lord. The nine rungs of devotional service, beginning from Adav Shraddha to Krishna Prema, nine steps. Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Sasakti, Bhava Prema. Where are we right now? How far is our journey? So along with our celebrations of singing and dancing and merrymaking and feasting, today we feast on Harikatha and Harinam. Right? It's a feasting for the soul, a non-biological way. Prabhupada used to say, Krishna is great, But most people in the world, including Indians, which is the land of Dharma, do not know how great Krishna is. In fact, if you take a poll, Krishna probably is the most misunderstood person in the world. For lack of understanding him, he is most misunderstood. Right? Either he is seen as a politician, or a clever leader, or a romantic hero, or a macho man, whatever. People have sorts of vague and very, very distorted, convoluted, and sometimes even perverted ideas about somebody who is as pure, as divine, as holy, as God Himself. Krishna is accepted by all acharyas of any ranking. Sri Padmadevacharya, who is Bhimsen himself, who is Vayudevata, who is Hanuman incarnate, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya himself, right? The greatest acharyas in the world have all accepted. The scriptures accept. The acharyas accept. There is no debate as to who is the absolute truth. We are not talking today about God, Krishna as God. No. We are not talking about that part. We are taking Krishna because there are so many gods. Is he one of those gods? No. We are talking about Krishna in relationship to understanding as he is the absolute truth. The Param Satya. Bhagavatam starts with this verse, Satyam Parama Dhimahi. Right? What is the meaning of the word absolute truth? Right? We know about what is truth, that we have some understanding of. What is absolute truth? Some of the demigods came to offer their prayers to the Lord in the womb of Devaki, in the jail of Kamsa. Satya Vachan, Satya Param, Tri Satyam. Right? And demigods are not fools. They are very well read, extremely super intelligent personalities. An extremely high degree of mode of goodness. And they are offering their prayers in the jail and said, you are Param Satya. You are Tri Satyam. Absolute means that at all times, in all circumstances, he is the supreme God. For all people, he is not a God of the Hindus. No. Very sad when Krishna is in a very limited framework. He is a God of some of these people who are calling themselves Hindus. Very sad. Or is a God of the Indians. Just a clan of people who live in a particular tract of land. Krishna is the source of all that exists. Right? That means there is no truth higher than him. Krishna himself says, Mataha parataram na anyat. There is nothing beyond Krishna. Everything, every knowledge, every search, ultimately ends in what? In Krishna. The source of all life ends in Krishna. Right? Krishna is called as Asamavruddhva. Asamavruddhva Tattva. Asamavruddhva. So nobody is sama to him, nobody is urdhva to him. Nobody is beyond him. Krishna has no equal. Krishna has nobody superior to him. He is the all in all, the greatest in every category. Impeccable beauty. Nobody, there are people in the world who are beautiful. At least they think they are. And some people around them think they are beautiful also. But what is the beauty of this world? Just a few flickering years. maintained through cosmetics and plastic surgery. That's about all. Sagging skin, wrinkled bodies. What kind of beauty is that? But when we sing every day in the morning, Prabhupada told us to sing this Brahma Samhita prayers in the morning, right? And every day is a deep meditation. When we fold our hands in front of Gopinath or Giridhari or Shabasundar or Adamadha, wherever in part of the world we are, or even maybe in our own homes.
Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
One cupid is enough to put the whole universe in big trouble. There's only one cupid per universe. And rishis, sages, demigods, everybody is put into massive trouble by one cupid. Because the arrow he shoots makes the whole world. One of the brain analysis that cupid makes you stupid. Very true. Cannot better that phrase. You may be stupid. So one unembodied devata called as Cupid by his power can put the whole world into a mohit state of delusion where every soul forgets who he is. He's a master mesmerizer. And when he mesmerizes people, they forget who they are and where they are and they start saying things as they are told. One magician went to in America and he a powerful magician. He said, "Today I am going to make the Statue of Liberty disappear." It was very big news. And millions of people came around Manhattan City looking at the goddess. This goddess of Americanism. Right? And then at the right time there was a big curtain over her and they could see her form, her shape, mashal. And then everyone was like, "Abhi kya hoga?" And then he said, "Remove the curtain." And they removed the curtain. And she was not there. The Statue of Liberty disappeared. So, "Oh my God, where is she gone? What happened?" And after a few moments, he said, "Now you can see, she's there again." Right? So even ordinary magicians can make things disappear and appear. But the power of Kamadev, he can make everyone forget who they are. But Krishna is Gandharpa Koti. Koti means several crores of Madan Mohan, of Madanas. They have no effect. In fact, when they see Krishna, they become mohit. You see? So what type of beauty is that? Which makes Kamadev go crazy and mad. And he just becomes unconscious. And he cannot get him up by putting water on his face. He's in a deep, deep, deep comatose condition. He just cannot. How beautiful is Krishna? Right? Is the greatest in every category. What is his strength? We have to have some strength, we have to go to have some testosterone injections, go to a gym, keep doing this and this for hours together. Right? And then we get some strength. Again, you have to keep on. If you don't do that for a few days, it goes away. Right? This is our strength. It's ridiculous when you think that we are strong. What is Krishna's strength? One who can lift a mountain. Nothing great. This is not God who can lift a mountain. Even Purusha Muni lifted the same mountain. And brought it from another dvipa to Brajamandal. So, Purusha Muni is not God. He is one of the Prajapatis. That's all he is. Lifting Govardhan does not make Krishna God. For Krishna, it was lifting like lifting a mushroom. A child can lift a mushroom. This is not God. Prabhupada says, one who can float all the universes in the open space, one who can float universe in the space, for him to float one mountain, it's a no-brainer for him. Right? And that is not even Krishna who is holding all the planets in place. It is just a Shakti, which we call as gravity, which is the Shakti of Sankarshan Dev, who is the embodiment of the gravitational force. He is not even Krishna. Krishna's greatest strength is not physical strength. The power of his love is his greatest strength. There is nobody who can love more than Krishna. He is the greatest lover. And he loves all his children so much. He loves all of us so much. He has unlimited love because he is Ananta. He has unlimited love for each and every soul of this creation. How can you do that? I can have some love for my wife, for my children, for my neighbors, for my vendors, maybe suppliers, or donors. Maybe. How can we have love for everyone in this world? But Krishna can love everyone unlimitedly. What is the proof of that love? He never leaves them. Never leaves them. We live Krishna, sadly enough, out of envy, anusuya ve, and we come to this material world to enjoy like Krishna. Right? But Krishna is so kind, he never leaves us alone. Whether you are an earthworm or a kangaroo or a cockroach or a honeybee or a bacteria, he comes with you. Is that not love? You can forsake him, you can kick him, you can insult him, you can humiliate God, you can do anything to God, but he will never leave you. That is love. He's always in our heart, constantly, waiting. Unlimited patience. Krishna's got, he's unlimited in everything. He has unlimited patience, waiting, when will this soul come back to me? What is Krishna's nature? A person is known a lot by his swabhav, right? Looks are okay with people, looks are all right. But true person's nature is his own. Because swabhav, iska swabhav achha hai. Ye bada tikha swabhav ka hai. We will say so many things. Swabhav. What is Krishna's swabhav? What is his nature? He is the supreme enjoyer. How does a devotee relate to this philosophical understanding? When we say God or Krishna, Supreme Krishna is the enjoyer, does it make us feel comfortable or uncomfortable? When I hear that a lot, it makes me uncomfortable. Only he is enjoyer. Mera kya? Only he is enjoying. Matlab, what about me? Right? I used to always feel very uncomfortable with that thought. And I could see that that thought which a Jivatma conditioned soul has is a root of his envy. When he thinks, if he's enjoyer, that means I am less of an enjoyer. What is the nature of Krishna's enjoyment? In the material when people enjoy, what do we say? He's enjoying life. We say, oh, ash kar raha hai. What is that? He has BMWs or Tesla cars or Rolls Royce maybe. Big mansion, huge palaces. enjoying a lot of women around him, a lot of servants around him, best of foods around him. You think this is what? This is enjoying. Krishna is not just such a mundane enjoyer. Right? He has no car. He doesn't have shoes also. He walks in Vrindavan barefoot. No tuxedos, no three-piece suits. Just a simple shawl and pitambar, yellow silk and dhoti. Nothing. Look at how God is he. Why do you say he is a supreme enjoyer then? He is nothing around him. Right? So we should understand when you say Krishna is an enjoyer, means that his enjoyment is not like the karmis enjoying their senses. It is not indriya bhoga, which is what makes Krishna the supreme enjoyer. It's our understanding of enjoyment is so perverted. Enjoyment is when you fulfill all your sensory demands of the panchendriya, the jnanendriya, karmendriya, then we are enjoying to the fullest. Krishna is not such a hopeless, mundane enjoyer. His enjoyment is to exchange love with his devotees. When Krishna is on the chariot of Arjuna, right? Krishna is extremely happy and enjoying. A driver does not enjoy. In this world, driver enjoys. He doesn't enjoy. He just, weird. But when Krishna is serving his dear devotee Arjuna, and the battlefield Kurukshetra, getting kicked by him, left, right, because Arjuna is behind him. In the war, there is clangs, people dying, shouting, screaming, weapons beating. You cannot say, take Krishna, take left, take right. You have to just have to kick Krishna on the shoulder. Krishna says, okay, I have to take chariot left. And he goes Krishna on the right side. And he goes in a straight. This is how Arjuna has to deal with Krishna. This is the way charioteers have to do. Right? When he then gets those sort of nudges from Arjuna, Krishna is enjoying it because he is helping, he is serving his devotees. When he embraces a dirty, unbathed, skeleton, muscleless, haggard Brahmana called Sudama, Krishna, who will be happy when he embraces such a person? You remember people who look nice, look decent, right? Yeah, Haribol. If somebody is dirty, skinny, unkept hair, emaciated, legs shaking and hunger and like that, remember? Right? But when Krishna embraces the body of Sudama, he is so happy. And he cries tears of profuse love. That is Krishna's enjoyment. Right? When he is around with his friends in Vrindavan, when he is hearing the bumblebees sing his glories in Vrindavan, bumblebees singing, in his one way singing the Mahamantra, Krishna is very happy. When the trees in Vrindavan are oozing sap, when Krishna is walking in that road, the trees know Krishna is coming, and they ooze beautiful sap of flavored sap from their trunks. And Krishna breathes that air containing the sap. He reciprocates, oh, this tree wants to serve me with the sap. Krishna is extremely happy because it wants to reciprocate love with the tree. Right? This is Krishna's enjoyment. Right? When he is able to help any jivatma come to his lotus feet, guide him from within his heart to come back to him, that is his enjoyment. When he sees all of us gathered here to speak and hearing about his glories, that gives him a lot of happiness. Right? This enjoyment is not like the mundane enjoyment. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of all that exists. That is also his nature. Supreme proprietor. Everything, Prabhupada's one simple statement, so simple yet so profound. Everything belongs to Krishna. When I think of this statement, I just sometimes think that if there's one line in my life that everything belongs to Krishna, I will be happy forever. Right. Because I think this body is mine, this intelligence is mine, this faculties to do things is mine, and this money is mine, and this whatever else I call as mine is mine, mine, mine. Because I have so many things attached to the word mine, I'm unhappy, or for that matter, anybody is unhappy because he attaches so many things to being his or hers. But when he says everything belongs to Krishna, that's it. You are liberated. You're finished. No more anxieties. Everything belongs to Krishna. That's it. Life is perfect already. This one line of Prabhupada is so beautiful. Everything belongs to Krishna. Jai! It's cause for celebration. Nothing is mine. And if everything belongs to Krishna, I also belong to Krishna. I did not belong to a particular jati, or a country, or a dharma, or a company, or a gharana, or a family. I belong to Krishna. Wonderful. How wonderful is that to know that I belong to Krishna. That I am a part and parcel of Krishna. Right? That is wonderful to understand. And therefore when we go and take bath in the Ganga, this is our deep meditation. But for the matter, any kund when we go to take bath in Jamuna, any kund, Pavan Sarovar, wherever we go, we take the water from that kunda or that holy river and we give it back to Ganga. I take from the Lord and I give the Lord. That's it. So we can take a lot of things. We can have money, we can have degrees, we can have fame, we can have success, we can have everything. We don't want to live like Sudama. Not necessary. We can have everything. But you take whatever Krishna is giving you, and what you do then? Let the fame be used in Krishna's service. Let my talent be used in Krishna's service. Let my money be used in Krishna's service. Because everything belongs to Haribo. How wonderful is that understanding Prabhupada has given us. And Krishna is supreme friend. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gnatma mam shanti vrachati. Not the shanti which you get by just sleeping nicely or taking a diazepam tablet. This shanti is the eternal shanti of the soul. That means no agitation, no anxieties, no frustrations, no depressions. It is eternal peace of existence. Na sochati, na kankshati. No hankering, no limitation. That is a state of complete peace. That can only happen when we understand Krishna is supreme friend, enjoyer, friend and proprietor. Krishna is our friend. Yes, he is our worshipable God also. He is our father also. But dear Krishna wants to know us more as we are his friend. What is the meaning? How does the devotee connect to this truth? This eternal truth, Siddhanta of Krishna being my friend. How is Krishna my friend? How do I make friendship with Krishna? Well, the simple definition of friendship is a friend in need. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about this principle. There are so many devotees who are in need of Krishna. And Krishna is always there indeed. When Prahlad was being thrown from the cliff, there's a place near Hyderabad called Yadadri, mountain called Yadadri, where a great rishi was staying called Yadarishi, who was the son of a great sage called Rishashringa, who performed the yajna for the Dasharatha Maharaj to have son Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna, Bharat. So that son of Rishashringa, Yadarishi, he was wanting to, you know, he was a great devotee of Narsingadev. And long story, but the Lord was very pleased with him. And then the Lord revealed five forms of Narsingadev to him. One form of Narsingadev was Narsingadev with wings, so as Garuda Narsinga. And that is a form which the Lord had taken when Prahlada was being thrown from the huge cliff. Because the birds can fly very fast. And Garuda is the fastest bird. So the Lord comes as Garuda Narsinga. So he has the face of Garuda and the body of Narsingadev. Beautiful form. Prahlada was in need. Krishna was there. On the top of some remote hill in this universe, somewhere up there, Trikuta Mountain, lot of elephants, snakes, scorpions, lions are living. One elephant gets stuck in the water. Ritumata water. It's a lake, nice, beautiful lake, lotus flowers, etc. One crocodile catches him. So what? One crocodile catches you, so what? Is it important for the world that one crocodile was caught the mouth of an elephant? Okay. It is not matter to anybody. Right? It is their problem. They have to solve it out. But when this elephant cries out from nowhere, cries helplessly and takes a little lotus flower with his bleeding body, he's already in sort of a hemorrhagic shock, oozing blood everywhere, right? Takes out a simple flower with no strength. The elephant has a lot of strength, but now he's gone. Thousands of years he's fighting. Enough strength to just lift a flower. Some prayers is offered, said, "My dear Lord, this is for you." The moment the flower comes in the air, Krishna runs from Vaikuntha, comes, chops off the head of the crocodile. Here is my simple little devotee as an elephant. He needs me. I must be there for him. Right? Draupadi is crying helplessly in the Asat Sabha, the vicious assembly of the Kurus. My devotee is crying for me. I must be there. What a friend. Krishna has never, there is no pastime in all Puranic literature you can ever find where a devotee has cried for him in need and Krishna did not come. In fact, he is such a friend, and if you don't call for him, he will still come. Is there any friend like that who don't call for him? Hey, I have a problem here. I need your help. He may come, he may not come. You never know. I am busy here. I would want you to come, but you know, I am stuck up with this. Durvasa Muni attacked our Ambarish Maharaj. Amrit Maharaj is not even asking for Krishna's help. He just said, "Mare Krishna, rakhe ke, rakhe Krishna, mare ke." I'm okay if this Durvasamuni wants to kill me. He just folded his hands in prayer and just said, "Oh Krishna, I'm yours." He didn't ask for any help, and yet Krishna sent the student chakra. What a friend is that? Who saves you, helps you when you don't even ask for his help. That is a friend. The greatest friend. Right? Who would not like to have a friend like that? Who is such a fool in this world, wouldn't want to have a friend like that? And nobody can there be greater friend than this? Again, friendship category, he is the highest. In every category you can think of, in beauty, in strength, in knowledge, in fame, in renunciation, Chadeshwarya Purna, Parashar Muni says, he is the highest in every category. In daya, in kripa, in forgiveness, in tolerance, everything, highest. Any virtue you can take, any virtue of all the virtues which are possible, you can think of. There are supposed to be at least 50 virtues the Jivatma has. In every category, Krishna is the highest. That is why he is called as all attractive. That is why he is all attractive. How can that person not be all attractive? When he is the highest in every category, and then he is obviously bound to be all attractive. Therefore, now we can, with this understanding, when we develop it in our heart further, then we can understand truly with this understanding that Krishna is all attractive. Krishna one of the beautiful leelas of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's start with Dwarka. We'll trace our steps backward. We will start from Dwarka, we come to Mathura, and then enter into Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is a very special place. We cannot enter that prematurely. We cannot rush into Vrindavan. We don't have the adhikar to do that. It's the Lord's own personal abode. We can't barge into that. Otherwise, trespassers will be prosecuted. We can't enter into Brajalila like that. But we can make some attempt to go into Dwarka, because Dwarka is Aishwarya Lila of the Lord. And therefore, our understanding of God, Krishna, Supreme Absolute Truth, has to start with first Aishwarya understanding. It will be a terrible mistake to start understanding Krishna from Braja perspective. With a Braja lens, you can't understand Krishna. It's out of question. There's no way you can understand Krishna in Braja. But we can make some to understand Krishna in the Dwarka Leela. That Uddhava is his topmost friend. Right? That shows Krishna as the greatest warrior, the greatest personality, most powerful. Right? One of Krishna's names is Trayadhisha. Traya. And he's lord of three principles. Right? Trayadhisha means there are three modes. Krishna is lord of the three modes. The three planetary systems, Krishna is lord of the three. There are three Shaktis, Antaranga, Bahiranga, Tatastha. Krishna is lord of that. So all this, therefore Krishna's name is Trayadhisha, the lord of all the three potencies. So, can you imagine, we see Krishna as, in Vrindavan, we see Krishna as playing the flute, right? And we see Rama as having the bow and arrow. Can you imagine Krishna having a bow and arrow in his hand? And shooting with ferocious anger, right? We hardly talk about that part of Krishna. Krishna's bow and arrow. See, when Krishna comes, all the avatars are in him. See, Krishna is not just an avatar, first of all. Another misunderstanding about Krishna, which is prevalent all over our samaj, Krishna is avatar. Well, Prabhupada sometimes says, yes, he's avatar also, because he's like, comes from Shivdakshai Vishnu in one sense. But the higher understanding of the Acharya is that Krishna is not avatar. Krishna is. So when you think of Krishna's great. Sorry. So when you think of avatari, let's understand Krishna avatari in a proper way. Let's sort of go a little deeper in that understanding. It's Krishna's avatari. So our Acharya, Sripada Jayadeva Goswami, right? Now he writes first a great song called as Dashavatara Stotram, right? Prayaya payo dijale ditavana sivedam, right? So it first describes with Keshavadrita Meena Sharira, right? Now this fish is 100,000 yojanas in length. When you think of fish means in an aquarium or a whale or maybe a big timingala, or frog-like brains can think of that, right? But think of a fish which is 100,000 yojanas. Where is that fish? That fish is within Krishna. You think of a great tortoise, 800,000 miles in diameter. Where is the tortoise? It is in Krishna. Think of the ferocious, all-powerful Narsingadev, whose roar makes elephants cry and the earth shake and the clouds shatter. And the universe trembles practically at his roar. That person is within a small baby who's crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Narsingadev is within Krishna. That is the meaning of the word. That ferocious Parshuram who can kill, who was killing infidel kings, the Kshatriya power, at the speed of the mind. What is the speed of the mind? Nobody knows. Even the scientists cannot understand. They know what is light years. Some, I forget that, physics mind, so many meters per second, and something was there. 10 to 8. Thank you. Right? 10 to 8 miles per second is the speed of the light. Right? The speed of the mind is even more than that. Now, Parshuram is such a Shaktivesh avatar, he can kill the kings at the speed of the mind. And when he gets little tired, he starts killing kings at the speed of the wind. That Parshuram is within a small boy who is eating makkhan from the gopis. Right? And who is now getting scared of that stick which is in the hands of Yashodamai. Right? So when we say the word avatari, you must understand all these avatars are within Krishna. So one who is holding the bow and arrow is Lord Ramachandra. He is also within Krishna. Right? So in one sense it is said, all these pastimes of killing demons is not done by Krishna. Krishna has no business killing demons. But there's two lesser type of work for it. It's all done by his Vasudev feature. Right? It is not done by man by him. One of his features is Vasudev feature. Anyway, so there's a huge war. Huge war. Right? 12 Akshahani divisions. All marching from Dwarka to a place called as Sonitpur. What is Sonitpur? Sonitpur is today's modern world, Tejpur. Where is Tejpur? Tejpur is in Assam. What has happened? Something exciting is happening there in Assam. Neighboring kingdom is called as Pragjyotishpur. Something terrible has happened over there. What is happening there? Krishna's great-grandson Anirudh has been kidnapped by Chitralekha, who is a friend of Usha, who is a daughter of Banasur. Right? And she was kept captive in this top of the hill. After 4 months of searching, where is Anirudh gone? Suddenly in the middle of the night, Anirudh has disappeared. He has gone along with his bed, he has gone somewhere. So when you run away from the house, you abscond, you go with your clothes or money or passport or whatever, right? The bed be nahi hai. The bed also is gone. Where can someone go with the bed? Anyway, he was brought from the skyways by Chitralekha because Usha fell in love with him. All that story is there in Bhagavatam. Right? So afterwards, Narad Muni comes and reveals to Krishna and Dwarka that you know where Anirudha has gone? He is captive in Banasura's kingdom at Sonitpur. So, what is going on? Right? So, in this war, they come to attack. Now, Kshatriyas, they are now out. Can you somebody kidnap like that? Krishna's grandson? Yemajal type, you know? Yemajal. Who can do that? Krishna, Balaram, Satyaki, Pradyumna, Samba, all these people, they attack Sonitpur. And who's on this side? बाणासुर शिवजी गणेश जी कार्तिकेय एंड ऑल दिस ट्रूप्स ऑल दिस कुंभांड एंड ऑल दिस राक्षसस एवरीबडी राइट एंड दैट सोनीपुर हैज सीन अ वॉर मे बी इवन मोर ग्रूसम देन कुरुक्षेत्र वॉर राइट सो 12 अक्षौणी इज फ्रॉम कृष्णा साइड इसका कितना है आई डोंट नो इट इज रिट मेंशनड आई डोंट नो व्हाट एवर मे बी इक्वल एक्चुअली इट सेज इक्वल नंबर ऑफ पीपल फ्रॉम दिस साइड ऑल्सो एंड देर इज सो मच ऑफ ब्लड शेड वॉर राइट एंड कृष्णा इज विद बो एंड एरो इवन ड्यूरिंग द टाइम वेन जरासंध अटैक्स वेन कृष्णा इज इन मथुरा राइट आई एम गोइंग टू मथुरा ऑल्सो नाउ राइट Krishna is attacked. Now from this side is Kala Yavan. Where is Kala Yavan from? He is from Afghanistan. And he is attacked with, by, yeah it's true. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says he is from Afghanistan. And he has come with 30 million soldiers, all Yavanas. All Yavanas, right? And they attack from one side, and other side is Jarasandha. Because, you know, he is wild, Kamsa has been killed, that is his Sandhi, you know, his daughter has been given to Kamsa's, his daughter has become widows now. So he is another powerful ally of Kamsa. He attacks 23 Akshahuni divisions. What numbers are these? Somebody can calculate. How many chariots, that is, how many elephants, how many infantry, how many soldiers. It's a huge number of people. Right? And on this side, who's fighting? Krishna, Balaram, bas. 2 people. Right? How is Krishna, the same Lord Ram, who was at Janasthan in Nasik, you know, and when Kharadushan attacked, Trishir attacked, he finished 14,000 soldiers and rakshasas in 1 hour. That was good enough, right? It's a big thing, a big achievement, right? 14,000 in 1 second. But when you come, see, when Krishna comes, he shows some leelas which is a little beyond Ram also. Because he's the supreme, he's the source of Lord Ram. So he goes, he takes his benchmarking even higher, right? So now 23 Akshaunis from this side and this side, Kala Yavana on this side and only 2 people fighting, Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna having what? Bow and arrow. Bow and arrow. And how he is fighting, we can't even imagine. Now we can't even imagine how Arjuna is fighting. He says, when Arjuna is fighting, then this is his bow, Gandiva. This is his quiver behind. He takes it out, mounts it, pulls it, releases it. So it must take some, whatever, some fraction of a time, right? But when you look at Arjuna, you can't see when he took it out, when he mounted it, when he shot it, it is like a firebrand. His hand is going like this. Continuously is going like this. And if you do it for 5-10 times, you'll find... You try to do that in your house, you know, do like this for 10-15 times. Iodex. But Arjuna is so powerful. He can fight with that ferocity. When he was shooting, when he was charging to kill Jayadratha on that fateful day when Abhimanyu was killed the next day, he was going with fierce, like a fire, cutting through the ranks. It's just like chopping off people. He just chop. Right? Because Jayadratha is right at the end of the army. He used to cut through the entire rank and reach Jayadratha and then kill him. That is Arjuna's, right? It is Arjun. He's a Jivatma. Also, he's a great archer, greatest archer, but he's a Jivatma. And whatever Arjun potency he's got is coming from whom? From Krishna. So what is the source of, when the person who gave Arjun that talent to fight, when he fights with the same arrow and bow, uska kya what about that? Right? When the source of the bow and arrow fighting skill fights. Then 23 Akshauhini divisions, cut. Within no time, Jarasandha is completely rooted. Just a complete huge ocean of blood.
Just blood. Everywhere blood. Elephants floating. Like islands, it is said. Bhagavatam says, elephants are floating like, when elephant falls, na, the hump is like a small island. Na? So elephants, floating elephants are like islands in the ocean. And that is Krishna's power. That is his power. So we can never make the mistake of thinking Krishna is ever ordinary person. Raghavendra Prabhu beautifully says always, the mistake which we make is to think that either man is God or God is man. One of the mistake, right? Now God cannot become man and man cannot become God. God is God. Man is man. That's it's an eternal reality. You cannot change that reality. Right? And when Prabhupada says, Krishna mahan hai aur hum tuchh hai. You went for a lot of lectures of Prabhupada said this fact. Krishna mahan hai aur hum tuchh hai. Right? This one line is enough to understand Krishna. But how mahan is Krishna? So we are talking about that today. So if you go to Brajalila prematurely, you start thinking Krishna is ordinary. You cannot make that mistake. We have to always approach Krishna with the Aishwarya Bhava. We even worship Radha Gopinath in the temple. We are not worshipping Radha Gopinath. We are worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Because Lakshmi Narayan is worshipped with the Arsalabhidhi process called as Vaidhi Bhakti. Krishna is never worshipped through Vaidhi Bhakti. Never. He is always worshipped through Ragatmika Bhakti. What is that? We don't know. बहुत दूर की बात है पहले वैदिक भक्ति को सीखना चाहिए पहले अपने को 5 o'clock मंगला आरती 7:45 श्रृंगार आरती उसके बाद गुरु पूजा तुलसी पूजा दैट इज आवर स्टैंडर्ड राइट नाउ 16 राउंड हरे कृष्ण मंत्र हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे आवर लेवल 16 राउंड 4 एक्टिव प्रिंसिपल्स नो मीटिंग नो गैम्बलिंग Back to the basics, as they say, you know. So if you do that properly, then maybe we understand this, what is Krishna's true greatness. One very beautiful story in Dwarka is Krishna killing his own son. Very special leela. I was talking about Krishna's swabhav, right? One of Krishna's Sabhav is that he is absolutely, the word absolute is always connected with Krishna, right? Is absolutely impartial. Now how did Krishna kill his own son? Will any father kill his own son? Of course, Hiranyakashipu did that. He tried to do that at least. But with somebody as great as God like Krishna, can he kill his own son? Answer is yes. Therefore, this Leela is very special. And because it is a huge principle behind this Leela. When Varahadeva came to this world, Varahadeva is this gigantic form of the Lord. Kesava Dhrita Sukara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. And therefore, when he is with his tusk, he held the earth planet. It was sunken in the Garbhodaka ocean. Right? And that divine touch of the Lord, this touch is divine. You know, not like our touch. When you touch, nothing happens. No divine, nothing. Right? When Krishna touches the earth, he blessed the earth with his own potency. And through that, Bhumi Devi gave birth to a child. Bhumi, ka beta, Bhauma. Right? So Bhauma was born. Gone to Gurukul, very obedient, very nice boy, very, very sushil, very, very obedient, you know, obeyed his father, all good virtues, right? Krishna's own son, so he had all godly qualities. God's son has to be, cannot be God, but at least can be godly. So he was godly, right? Born from his own
on his own body practically, right? Now, the problem strikes in Bhauma's life. Now, he didn't have a kingdom to rule. And that part is a little later. He starts staying at Pragjyotishpur. Okay? And then the neighboring kingdom is the kingdom of Banasur, which is Sonitpur, now called as Tejpur in modern world. So they make friendship. Bhauma becomes friendship with Banasur. What happens when you become connected with the Asur? You become a Asur. You become connected to Asur, you become Sur. We got both sides in our consciousness. We got Asur side, we got a Sur side. If you want to bring the Sur side out, then we remain connected at all times with demigod-like devotees. Will always bring the goodness out of you out and bring out your highest potential. And if you want to really damage your consciousness, have a wasteful life, right? You connect with Asuras. They will bring out that part also powerfully and destroy you and destroy the world. So that association made Bhauma into Bhaumasur. He's no longer called as Bhauma now. He's famous in Bhagavatam as Narakasur. Narak, what a upadhi to get. Narakasur. Ribbapre. What a tyrant, what a terrorist. He went and attacked the demigods, stole Aditi's earrings, right? Stole the umbrella of Varunadev. It's like challenging demigods. What will you do? What will you do to me? I am going to steal your mother's earrings. What will you do to me? Tell me. That was his language. I can do this to your mother also. What will you do to me? What do you call it? In simple words, they call it Hindi as Dadagiri. That's what it is, basically. And demigods will not do anything to him. He's an extremely powerful person. Right? Anyway, when this fight takes place, he's now stationed at Pragjyotishpur. He has a lot of people who are his allies. He calls Mura. Mura becomes his ally also. Mura builds make a nice fort for him. And then they have a huge moat made. Bhagavan describes the technology of the time 5,000 years ago. When they have barbed wires, you have electrical fencing, you have got anila gas, you got various, and then a moat of water. There are 5 layers of protection, of fortifications. And within that, there was a palace. In the palace, who was staying? Bhaumasura was staying. And under the water in that huge lake was Mura. Right? And when Krishna comes to know that this fellow has now a terrorist, he is killing the demigods, insulting, humiliating the demigod's mother, who is a great devotee of the Lord, right? And has become a big pain in the neck of the whole world. Then Paritranaya, Sadhunam, and Vinash. He deserves the highest punishment now. Even though he is my son, I will kill him. So Krishna comes on Garuda, right? And there's a very beautiful story, and he brings Satyabhama along with him. It's a very nice, beautiful story described in this thing. Because Satyabhama is, Bhumi Devi is an expansion of Satyabhama. And there's a story goes that, you know, the meditation was asked at the time of his birth that nobody should kill him unless his mother gives permission to be killed. That was the meditation he had. Now, when will your mother give permission for a son to be dead? They never do that, right? But this guy is fighting, and he's Bhaumasura is fighting and doing a lot of nonsense he's doing. And when Satyabhama sees that he is doing so much of nonsense, right? He tells Krishna, why are you taking so much time to just kill him? So, now I was waiting for that. I was just prolonging the war because I wanted that to come out. I would have killed him on the very first instance, but I was just prolonging. I wanted to say that because Krishna was getting tired and all that. He says, you are getting tired and people are getting killed. Just kill him. Kill this rascal. Now, Krishna kills him. So Krishna killed his own son and spared Kaliya. Look at that understanding. It is another huge asura. The most worst of all the anathas is considered to be envy. And envy personified is Kaliya. And he was not killed, but he was spared. Now that brings us to some very special understanding. So now we can move from Dwarka to Mathura. Right? First day of the Lord in Mathura. First day. Mathura is a place of Kamsa, right? Kamsa is the most powerful demon on the planet. Do not think Kamsa as ordinary demon. Right? Somebody who can subjugate Putana, Bakasur, Agasur, Trinavarta, Vyomasur, these people were powerful. Bakasur, for example, let's take one example. Bakasur was soap that duck, the crane, right? The crane. Just one sample understanding. The crane demon, Bakasur, was so powerful that the Pashupat Astra of Shiva did not work on him. Indra's Vajra did not work on him. Yamaraj's Yamadanda did not work on him. That is the power of one demon called Bakasur. And he is serving whom faithfully? Kamsa Maharaj. Right? This was sample. Right? So imagine the glory of Kamsa. What is his glory? What is his power? Supreme sovereignty over entire planet. Nobody can challenge him. Right? So Krishna wanted to announce in his first day in Mathura that I'm here. So there is a big Dhanur Yagya is being there. The big Yagya. Dhanur Yagya. Dhanush is there, right? The Dhanush was given after Shiva was so pleased with Kamsa. Hey, Baba, tu to bahut great. You are a very great fellow. You take my bow. I give you as a gift, right? So Shiva knew that Kamsa should be killed by Krishna, so of course Shiva could have killed him. But anyway, so take my bow. So that Shiva's bow was like a trophy. Like when you won a big match, you know, you get a trophy, right? You put it in a living room. You don't put it in your bedroom in the, you know, in a small drawer, right? You put it like where everyone says, hey, acha, I came first, no? In boxing match, man. So you put it right in the living room. So in the precincts of the city of Mathura itself was a big trophy showcase of this huge Shiva Dhanush, which required 5,000 strong bodied people to move that. Not lift that. Just move it. 5,000. That is the power of that Dhanush. And Krishna comes on the very first day, and then he has some exchanges. Now Krishna likes to wear good clothes. We should know that. Even though he is, you know, in Krishna is thinking, in Vrindavan I wear this, you know, simple dhoti and so on. And now I'm in a city, no? So I should be like a city boy. I cannot go like this. You know, I saw Kushbi Bhanke. I should wear something decent now. So he goes to this, he sees this washerman. He said, hey, what are you carrying? He said, hey, these are all clothes for Kamsa Maharaj. He said, can you give it to me? I'll bless you. I'll really bless you if you give it to me. He said, you know this? Nonsense. Right? Kamsa Kaya, don't even talk like this. If you say like this, no, Kamsa will come and he will kill you, he will punish you. So he starts giving Upadesh to Krishna. Upadesh Amrita to Krishna. Right? Said, oh, this fellow talks too much, you know. And he takes his hand and So here is a person who had a lot of Sukruti. That Sukruti had brought him to such a level where he could see God, the Supreme God, face to face. Sukruti can bring you to that level where you can actually see God. Dhritan could also see God. Dhrashta could also see God. But seeing God in our sampradaya is not important. Right? In our sampradaya, serving God is more important than seeing God. But this person lacked completely one thing, and that is an attitude of seva. He didn't want to serve Krishna. Right? So Krishna destroyed him. The first karate chop of the world was Krishna. Out. Eliminated. Then he goes to the Bhagavatam says he went to a tailor devotee. He doesn't just say about tailor. It says tailor devotee. Right? And he says, and he is so happy to have Krishna in, you know, come to his shop. Right? And he takes out the best clothes. Yeah, what can I give Krishna? He just takes his best, whatever. I don't know what that would. But he just puts it around Krishna and Balaram and gives some of these things to his friends and just wears. Just wearing that. It looks nice, right? He's very happy now. He's wearing this beautiful clothes. Now he wants a garland now. Because, you know, he looks more beautiful in a garland. So you go to the next shop. Next shop is who's? This florist called Sudama. Sudama florist. This is the Cyprian Sudama, not the Dwarka Sudama. And when he sees Krishna again, he has service attitude. The thing which attracts Krishna the most in the heart of a jivatma is not his beautiful shloka recitations or his beautiful singing talents or amount of donation he gives, you know, to a particular good philanthropic cause, whatever. Krishna is impressed by nothing. Absolutely, you cannot attract the all-attractive with all these methodologies. There's only one thing in the world which attracts the all-attractive. You must understand this principle. To attract the all-attractive, something has to be extremely attractive. Correct? He's already all-attractive. What can attract the all-attractive? Strength. Krishna says, mere paas bahut hai wo. Knowledge. You don't talk. Gita I have spoken in. Forget. Vyasadeva is my incarnation. Forget about it. So you cannot impress Krishna with strength and knowledge, renunciation. Renunciation, forget it. No question. I'm not attached to any of these people. The gopis and all, I don't care for them. Right? I'm Atmaram. So nothing can attract Krishna. But there's one thing which attracts, and that is the only thing which a devotee has to learn in his life. Through all the sadhana bhakti which we are performing, all the Bhagavatam classes we are attending, all the Nijal Ekadashi which we are doing, right? Everything which we are doing, there's only one thing we need to bring out from our hidden part of our heart. What is that? A humble, genuine, selfless service attitude. Because that is the only virtue which attracts the Supreme Lord. That's it. The simple chip rice of Sudama attracted Krishna so much. Right? So when he saw that in the florist, he blessed him. I bless him with complete opulence in this life. And you will get liberation in the next life. And I will bless you. What else you want? I want to remember you always. Bless you. I want your devotee association. Bless you. Right? I should never forget you. Bless you. Whatever he asks, bless you. Because he gave one simple garland. You see? If you give that, the garland was not so important. But the bhava in the garland was simple, pure, selfless service attitude. And for that, the garland became all attracted to Krishna. That's it. And he wanted him. And then he goes to the dhanush, picks it up. You may have to imagine, Krishna is floating all the planets. So, nothing great. Shiv dhanush. The whole band, the twang of the bow broken, practically shook the universe. It is Shiva's dhanush, not what we use in our dramas, you know. Magallal dresswala. You pull it like this and the arrow falls right there. So when you think of bow, we think of that bow, you know. Bada hoga, thoda bada hoga. Shiv dhanush. When it breaks, it makes the universe start shaking. So, you know, our frog understanding is sometimes, you know, very funny. So, and then comes a hearse that voice. Wow, what is that? My Kaal has come. Right? So Krishna proclaims his entry with a bang. Kamsa, hello. I'm around. And Kamsa loses his sleep. Finished. He can't sleep in the night. You know how Krishna killed him. Now we come to the land of Vrindavan. Now Vrindavan is special because there is something very special lacking in Vrindavan. How can Vrindavan be lacking in something? Krishna is the Lord's abode, is Paripurna. Krishna is Paripurna avatar, Purushottama avatar, Lila avatar. How can his dham be lacking in something? It lacks something. It lacks conspicuously the Aishwarya bhava. Aishwarya Bhava towards Krishna is conspicuous by its absence in Vrindavan. Nobody thinks Krishna has God there. Ye to apna dost hai. So what does Sridhama do? He climbs on his back. Can you imagine somebody climbing on Narsingdev's back? Or Parshuram's back? Can you imagine that state of affairs? Or climbing on Narayan's back and said, hey, come on, goda goda. But Sridhama can go on Krishna's back and say, chal goda, chal, aage chal, aage chal, 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 chal. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna is, by the yogamaya potency, completely covered his Aishwarya Bhav. Where he is a darling of everybody. He's a darling of Mother Yashoda, the darling of Nanda Maharaj, the darling of the gopis, and the most beloved object of the cows. That is Vrindavan. Where he is, his Prabhutva, his Aishwarya Bhav is concealed within him. And only rarely did Krishna reveal that. In some ways, when he was in the mouth of Agasur, he became big. Why became big? His Aishwarya, no? Hey, Krishna is bada, bada, bada. But he's in the mouth of Agasur, nobody saw him. So he shows the Aishwarya form and nobody is seeing. Otherwise, he is just playing like a small boy. In the Brahmavimohan Leela, something special happens. In Brahmavimohan Leela, Krishna is sitting there alone, right? And in his hand, it is explained, beautiful petal like hands, rice, yogurt, fruit salad, and fruit pieces. They are shining through Krishna's hands. Krishna's hands are so delicate. They are shining through Krishna's hands. You can see them through his hands. Sitting there like that. Looking for his cows. Right? And then Brahma comes and offers prayers of subjugation, of submission, crying. Right? Beautiful prayers. Important chapter for us. Prabhupada's last pastimes. 14th chapter, 10th canto. And now, from a simple looking child he's taking care of the calf, right? So it means he's not finished his Pokhand Lila still. He's less than 5 years old. This small four and a half year old child sitting there holding this fruit salad, which is nothing great about holding fruit salad, right? From his body comes out Vishnus. Millions of Vishnus come out from his body. Millions. All in Chaturbhuj Swarup. Around each Vishnu, which emanates from Krishna's body, are numerous Brahmas and numerous Lord Shivas. And each around each Vishnu is Narayan form, is numerous demigods. The time personified, the mystic siddhis personified, all of them offering prayers. Right? Just try to imagine the scene of one small child and millions of Narayan Vishnus around him. Each was surrounded by thousands of Brahmas, Shivas and millions of demigods offering prayers and flowers of respect, love and adulation. Right? And Brahma sees all that. Right? Now Brahma thought that he is mystic power. Big mystic power he has got. And he says, this is not Krishna's mysticism, first of all. It's not Krishna's mysticism. Right? This is not his like some just to show off. But this is all his actual expansions. It's all expansions, actual expansions. And imagine Vrindavan, Krishna, when he becomes the calf. Each calf becomes Krishna. Each cowherd boy becomes Krishna. One beautiful nature of Krishna is that he fulfills the desire of his devotees. All that we have to do in our life is to just do desire management. That's it. Simple. If you learn to desire management, no? Desire the right things and give up the wrong desires. Right? Because when Krishna sees you desire the right thing, he supports that. When he's doing the wrong things, Maya supports that. So whether you want a disaster supported by Maya or Krishna, it depends on us. It doesn't depend on Krishna. Because Krishna is going to independence. Right? If you decide the wrong things, I fully support that. Chalo beta, aage badho. I'm with you. If you decide the right things, you say, chalo beta, aage badho, I'm with you. So whom do we want? Krishna or Maya? Depends on you and me. Individual. Nobody can steal that independence away. Right? So each gopi wanted to have Krishna as his own son. Are Yashoda is, they are not the envious of Yashoda mind, right? They loved this so much. But they wanted to have, they had so much filial, fraternal, maternal attraction for Krishna. This wants to fulfill that to the fullest. I become your son. So every god boy becomes Krishna's son. Every mother wants to have, you know, every cow wants to have Krishna as her, as his own calf. This becomes the calf. And then the cow is feeding Krishna. So there are millions of 900,000 calves. I don't know how many calves were there. 900,000 cows. Maybe so many calves. And asankhya amount of covered boys. Asankhya. So we have in Vrindavan now asankhya. One Paralambasura can become only one covered boy. That is the power of Avanasura. One demon, one covered boy. One Vyomasura, one Vatsasura, one calf. That's all. That is the limit of the demon. What is Krishna's power? Unlimited calves and unlimited covered boys. That is Krishna in Vrindavan. But this is not shown in a mystical way. This is shown in a very sweet way. Because that is, it wants to conceal his Aishwarya Bhav, right? And when Brahma is looking at all this, suddenly Krishna disappears. All these nanas disappear. It's like the whole curtain is closed. Suddenly they disappear, right? And again Krishna is standing, sitting with there with the fruit, yogurt, rice and fruit salad. Looking here and there, as if nothing has happened. Kuch nahi hua hai. Nothing has happened. Right? That is Krishna of Vrindavan. So my dear devotees, my dear friends, what is our desire? Our desire is a desire which is painted on the wall today. This beautiful prayer by Maharaj Kulashekhar is our desire. I am so thankful for these devotees here to have written this most beautiful prayer because it was so dear to our beloved Srila Prabhupada. Today our heart swells in joy and gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, as Radhananda Maharaj said so well today morning. But for Prabhupada, would we have ever been as Indians or Hindus, whatever you call ourselves, ever known a true understanding of what Krishna is? Were it not for Srimad Prabhupada's Krishna book, or is Bhagavatam, would we understand Krishna's true glory? We would still remain those traditional people just, you know, julaving the jula on 12 o'clock in the night and eating some nice food and going by the night and sleeping. We would remain like that for all the rest of our life. But now we have such a heightened understanding of Krishna's true glory, at least to some extent. We cannot understand the full. Nobody understands Krishna in the full. Nobody understands Krishna in the full. Not even he himself understands how great he is. Now that is another philosophical enigma. How can not God understand himself? But it is true. Acharya said, Krishna does not know how great he is. That's how great he is. So this prayer is a great reminder for us of what is our true aspiration. Krishna Tvadiya Padapang. Let us stand together, my dear devotees. It is already printed there. Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam Yanghetam Ats Manmanesu Manasa Rajahamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kafavata Pitto Kanthavarodhana Vidhau Smaranam Kutaste. That is what the theme of Janmasami this time in our temple is, the holy swan. The holy swan is our theme of Janmasami today. What does the swan represent? The swan is a symbol of purity. It is pure white in color. There are no black swans. White. Purity. It is a symbol of elegance. The swan, the way it glides, elegant. The swan is a symbol of purity, एलिगेंस, जेंटलनेस एंड ग्रेस. इट इज सिंबल ऑफ लॉयल्टी. इज अ वेरी होली बर्ड यूज्ड बाय ब्रह्मा, यूज्ड बाय गायत्री देवी, यूज्ड बाय विश्वकर्मा, यूज्ड बाय सरस्वती. दिस ग्रेटेस्ट ऑफ ऑल फोर पर्सनालिटीज यूज्ड हंस वाहन. एंड मोर देन एनीथिंग एल्स, द स्वान इज अ सिंबल ऑफ द एबिलिटी टू डिफरेंशिएट गुड फ्रॉम द बैड. इट कैन सेपरेट मिल्क फ्रॉम द वॉटर, राइट? सो इट मीन्स द स्वान्स विच वी आर सीइंग इन आवर ऑल्टर टूडे आर गिविंग अस अ स्ट्रांग रिमाइंडर ऑफ डिसर्निंग इन आवर लाइफ वॉट इज ऑफ ट्रू रियल वैल्यू. What are the ideas which we want to hold sacred in our life and pursue with complete conviction and faith? And how that we are willing to resist any temptation, any distraction of this world will offer, and not give up those sacred ideals for the cheap imitation gold and diamonds of this world when we have Gandharva Koti in front of us. That we will never compromise the wealth of this world for the wealth of Krishna Prem. Arade Bhagavan Brajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachadupasana Vradavadho Vargena Vakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumarto Maham Chai Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Naparaha. These are the five principles which we want to hold sacred in our life. And simply by being performing a sadhana nicely, by being a servant of the Lord and His devotees, by becoming obedient servants of our spiritual master, and one day Krishna will reveal. We can't estimate these truths on our own by the avroha aroha pantha, by ascending process. They have to be given to us. They were to be revealed to us within our heart. And then we do that, then Krishna will steal our heart. The last abhava of Krishna we want to talk about is, he is a chor. He is a makhan chor. He is a papa chor. He is a hridaya chor. He is a chitta chor. Right? When you offer our hearts to Krishna, then Krishna will steal our hearts. And when Krishna steals your heart, he will never allow that to be stolen by anybody else. Right? It becomes his property. And we become Krishna's forever. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.